God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and the journey to the cross. It's so good to welcome you on this audio journey with Dr. Don Wilton today. His message, The Journey to the Cross, is coming up in just a moment. Dr. Don wants me to remind you, as we launch into this Bible study together, we're available for you. Available online at theencouragingword.org. It's a great place to not only hear what's going on with the ministry, but perhaps you missed yesterday's edition or want to hear tomorrow's a little ahead. It's all there for you. Video, audio, and so much more at theencouragingword.org. And though that's a great personal resource of growth, one of the most valuable resources we have is the power to pray together. You can call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
The Apostle Paul said something that was really quite life-changing, remarkable. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I'm crucified with Christ. I want to say something to you today. Are you crucified with Christ? I'm praying with you because there are so many of us that are really trying to find meaning in life. Please forgive me if it sounds like I'm talking about you. I am saying this of all of us. And right here in our city, right here today, there are people looking, wanting to know, hungry. There's a tremendous discontentment going on. A lot of you are discontented. You've had so much. You've lived full lives and you've bounced around from one thing in enjoying the blessings of life, but you've invested your life in things. And ultimately, those things begin to lose their pizzazz. They begin to run out of attractiveness. The trips and the places to go and the motor cars to drive and the homes and the houses and the businesses and all the things that you and I enjoy as blessings, they begin to run out. And today there is a real panic going on. Families are being divided. Children, teenagers are struggling. And there is hope. There's meaning in life. We've got to get back to this. We've got to get back to the cross. We cannot allow ourselves to be caught up in this big show. There is a massive show going on. There's an entertainment. There's a mad scramble in America to grab the hearts of people. And Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I'd like to pray for you today. Father, as we come to this time of worship, the journey to the cross, Lord, we are praying so much that the Lord Jesus would just reveal himself to us today by his Spirit. Lord, I stand here today before precious people, people for whom Christ died. And yet, Lord, we the people living in the most blessed land ever, a land that flows with milk and honey, somehow, Lord, this place, this cross whereupon you were crucified has been pushed into a back room. This is not why we come to church anymore. We come to be entertained. We come for the best show in town. This is not why we do what we do. We do what we do to impress our neighbors and to keep up. And we do what we do in order to have and to have more. And it's about you, Jesus. It's about the cross. And today, as we take this journey to the cross, speak to us, Lord Jesus. Speak to us right there in Jerusalem. Speak to us from the cross. Help us to look at the cross. Let us see why you went to the cross. Please, Lord Jesus, speak to us today. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen. If you consider, for example, John chapter 2, and you might want to look at that. I'm not going to be dwelling on John chapter 2, but in John chapter 2, the second thing that Jesus did when he began his ministry was that he went into the church. Now, I want you to just think about that for a moment. That's the second thing. Someone know what the first thing was that he did? He turned the water into wine. He performed that miracle. It was incredible. Jesus showed us that he is the God of all gods, because a miracle is something that only God can do. But he immediately went into the temple. He came into the church. And this is what the Bible says in verse 13 of chapter 2, that the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Where I was standing there, where I go every year, I was standing up. Jerusalem is set high up. So every time you read in the Bible about Jerusalem, you'll either read about going up to Jerusalem or going down from Jerusalem. That's why in the wintertime it can snow in Jerusalem. And it can be 70 degrees down at the Dead Sea. There's a huge discrepancy. So Jesus went up to Jerusalem, verse 14, and in the temple he found those who were selling oxen, sheep, and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers, overturned their tables. He told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of your house will consume me. So the Jews said to Jesus, now remember, this is long before, watch this, this is long before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus was just beginning his earthly ministry. The cross had not yet taken place. Jesus told them this. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Well, these people evidently were not a whole lot different to you and me. They couldn't understand that. Verse 20, the Jews said, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple. When Jesus comes again, I don't have time in that to show you. You saw the Golden Gate archway. It's still sealed. When Jesus comes, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and he's going to walk across a golden bridge into that archway, and he's going to reclaim this. He's coming back to take what is his. The Temple Mount, that's the same place where Abraham offered Isaac back in Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to tell you about that in a minute, because it's very important when it comes to this journey to the cross. So Jesus here in verse 20, he says, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you speak of it, the Jews said, of raising it up in 3 days. But Jesus, verse 21, was speaking about the temple of his body. And when therefore, now looking beyond the cross, he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that he had spoken. Everything about this was not an accident. Jesus didn't suddenly decide to go to the cross. It was a journey. And this journey was begun before the world began. Now, I want you to just get a hold of this for a second. This journey to the cross here, folks, this cross that we celebrate, this Jesus, what took place on the cross began before the world began. If you take John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who was going to go to the cross? God was. Every time you think about Jesus, you're looking into the heart of God. And the journey to the cross was begun before the world began. And in fact, John tells us in that same passage, he calls the Word, who is Jesus, light. And he says, this light will shine in darkness. That's you and me. someone right now who is living in sin, you don't know Christ, you're looking for meaning, you can become part of the purpose of God for your life. And the purpose of God for your life is that the light will shine and illuminate, will open the way and make known for you all that's necessary, give to you the abundant life. So the journey to the cross was begun long before the world began, way back then in the beginning. And you and I have tried to define when the beginning is. You'll never get there because God always is. It was not only begun before the world began, but it was illustrated in the sacrifice of Isaac. And you'll remember in Genesis chapter 22, that great passage in the book of Genesis where Abraham took his only son. I love the story of Abraham and Isaac, don't you? Everything about it was impossible. Would you like me to go into details? Well, I love the depiction of Abraham and Isaac, you know. And you know, it was all impossible because Abraham was an old man and his wife was an old lady and they were beyond childbearing age, and yet God did a miracle. The cross, by the way, is a miracle. The journey to the cross is about a miracle. It's about the miracle of God doing what only God can do. That's the journey to the cross. And it was illustrated for us in the life of Abraham and Isaac. Because here's God. God gives to Abraham a son. And then get this, turns to Abraham in Genesis 22 and says, Abraham, I want you to take your son and go and sacrifice him. Can I put that in modern day terminology? March him up the hill there and execute him. Now folks, that's not nice. In fact, we find that to be pretty horrendous. That is awful. You just think of a little baby. You think of your teenage son or daughter. What would you do if God came and said to you, I want you to kill this person that you love so much? And we know that wonderful story, how Abraham went up, by the way, on that same mountain where the Golden Dome is. That's where it took place. That's part of the journey. That's the spot. I'm just saying this as an aside now, and I'm not getting into all details. Folks, Jerusalem and Israel, very important. Maybe that's why I go there every year. Very, very important. And Abraham took Isaac up Mount Moriah, tied him up. Even Isaac said, now, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And what did Abraham say? He said, the Lord will provide. You know what that question is? It's me coming before God in my sinfulness and saying, Lord, help me, I'm lost. Help me, I'm a sinner. Help me, I'm searching. Help me, I don't know. Help me, I cannot be reconciled to you. Help me, I don't know what to do with my life. And the Bible says the Lord will provide. That's the journey. And you'll remember just before he executed his son, God provided an alternative. He provided the ram that was caught in the thicket for the sacrifice, and blood was shed. So the journey, yep, begun before the world began, illustrated through the sacrifice of Isaac, but then God used the prophets to speak about it. You know, and when I got onto the prophets, I thought, wow, we got a lot of prophesying to do. The Bible's full of the prophets, like Amos and Isaiah. If you take, for example, Isaiah 55 and verse 6, Isaiah says this. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So what the prophets were saying is, listen, we know that your system in the old covenant has God in a box. We know that you cannot go into the Holy of Holies. We know that as of this moment, you can only get to God through a priest. But I want you to know that this journey that God has determined points to the cross, and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God is going to come right there where you're at. And you can trust him. Invite him into your heart and into your life.
Oh, forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more in this wonderful, intentional journey to the cross that Christ made for you and me. Our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, wants us to remind you, though, as we pause in the middle of the broadcast, we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Prayer is foundational to the ministry of the Encouraging Word. As a matter of fact, early on, we were broadcasting and sharing through television, online, but we didn't have the ability to use the technology to connect us live people, one-on-one, 24 hours a day. We do now. And when you make that call to 866-899-9673, you are routed to one of us ready and willing. Whether it's 4 o'clock in the morning where you are, it's a place where we can get connected with you. And many times it's also 4 o'clock in the morning where we are, but we've made a commitment to be up and available and ready to pray you through whatever God's got going on in your life. So if it's not now, jot the number down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'll always get you connected, and we'd love to pray with and for you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
And the prophets spoke about this. They illustrated it. But this journey to the cross was also witnessed in the manger. You know, I love the Christmas stories. Have you all done your Christmas shopping yet? Listen, I'm not kidding you, man. We were somewhere recently, Karen and I. My wife looked at me and she said, you know, I'm going to buy those things. I said, what for? She said, well, they'd make great Christmas gifts. Time goes by. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time. That's a long way. Let's wait for Christmas. Nope, not according to the journey to the cross. You see, the journey to the cross was witnessed in the manger. I love that passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 17, where the Bible says that the shepherds, these people who had nothing, who just kind of hovered around in the fields, played with wild animals and look after their sheep. These nobodies, if you please. I'm saying that very respectfully. You know what I love about the shepherds? They remind me of me. By the way, did you know that when I was a young man, I guess I was 18 or so, I worked on a farm in Africa, and this man had 44,000 sheep. Any of you want to know anything about sheep, come and ask me. We used to inoculate these sheep, and it would take us 3 weeks just to inoculate the sheep. And Jesus, the Bible tells us that the journey to the cross involved a group of people who hung around sheep. They were essentially nobodies. They were herdsmen. They were ordinary people, and they witnessed the journey to the cross when they came to the manger. And Luke 2 verse 17 says, they immediately went and began to tell everybody what they had seen. That's quite a journey. Remember, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. Oh yeah, it began before the world begun, and it was illustrated by the life of Isaac and near death of Isaac. It was spoken of by the prophets, and it was illustrated, it was seen very clearly and witnessed in the manger. Dude, this cross here, tell you what I love about this, is that what happened on the cross and the journey to the cross was blessed by the Father. Do you know that God blessed the cross before it took place? Mark chapter 1 and verse 11, Bible shows us a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus being baptized. And when Jesus came up out of the water, a voice from the throne, from heaven came and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, blessed by the Father. Just think about that. And you know that the Bible tells us that when Jesus came up out of the water, the excitement that was generated by the blessing of God was unparalleled. It was far greater than you'll ever see at the Vatican or in any convocation or conclave. Jesus said, this is my Son. It's the cross. It was blessed by the Father. It was taught by the message of the one who went to the cross. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, Jesus said this, By the way, I didn't say this. You can look at it. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 31, Jesus said, he said, the Son of Man will be taken and will be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and they will kill him. But he's not going to stay dead. He is going to be raised by the power of God. He's going to come back to life. He's going to conquer sin and death and the grave. Jesus taught that. I've often thought, because I'm a preacher, I've often thought that the journey to the cross was seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 50, one of the most dramatic stories ever, we've got this picture of Jesus and his disciples in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Can you imagine that? Now, the Sea of Galilee, by the way, it's a beautiful lake. You and I would call that a lake. To be honest with you, I don't know where they get the sea thing, but at any rate, you know, they have obviously haven't been to Myrtle Beach, but at any rate, the Sea of Galilee, it's a beautiful lake. It puts Lake Jocassee in the shade. I'm just telling you that right now. Lake Lure cannot come anywhere near it. Definitely not Lake Hartwell. That's not even on the thing, especially with all the water down there. Lake Murray, so-so. You know, we could go, I mean, let's just go on and on down the road. But the Sea of Galilee, just magnificent, surrounded by mountains. And if you were in the Sea of Galilee and you were looking north to Syria, you have Iraq on your sort of right-hand side here, and you have Israel and Lebanon on your left-hand side, and Syria sort of in front of you, and you have the land of the Gentiles on this side, and you have Tiberias on this side, and right in front of you on the point, you have the beautiful little town or village of Capernaum, and then up on the hill there, you've got the hill where Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, the Mount of Beatitude. Well, they were on that lake, and a wind came up. I've been on that lake when that type of wind comes up. And do you know that the Sea of Galilee can go from this most serene, quiet, lovely, frolicking lake into a tempestuous sea? I mean, the waves get up. It overturns those boats as easy as anything. And these men were in the boat with Jesus, and this storm came up. And they were so scared, they were so afraid. And Jesus said, excuse me, it is I. What did Jesus say to them as even the winds and the waves obeyed his voice? It is I. The journey to the cross was seen in the person of the one who went to the cross. This journey was no mistake. What we're celebrating these weeks is no mistake. Today we stand here and we look and we say the journey to the cross. Jesus had you and me in mind. And I want to say to you today, my precious friends, that I love you so much, and I see such a search going on. In November we're going to celebrate My Hope. But don't wait until November to take hold of the hope that we have in the cross. The journey has begun. It began before the world began. And it's tied into the purpose of God for your life and for my life. And today I urge you to look to the cross. Look to Jesus. Take hold of Him. Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, he or she must take up the cross, cling to the cross, accept the cross, trust me because of the cross, give your life to me because I went to the cross, Jesus said. It's the cross. Are you willing to take up the cross and follow the Lord Jesus, just because He is the master voice, because He is speaking? Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Every head bowed and every eye closed as Eddie comes in Genesis today. to receive you, as right here in the sanctuary today, I invite you to come. As you and I look to the cross and we see a journey in which we know that God had me in mind. Christ died for me, and everything that he did, everything he spoke of, every event, every happening, everything was about me. Take up thy cross and follow me, I heard the Master say. Lord Jesus, the journey to the cross, it's real. So real, Lord. You mean all of this was done with people like me in mind? Lord, I pray today that people everywhere would turn to Jesus on the cross. In Jesus' name I pray.
If the Lord is speaking to you, don't hesitate. Pick up the phone. Let's talk about it. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. It'll connect you with us 24 hours a day to talk and to pray and to listen. 866-899-9673, or let's connect online at theencouragingword.org. Before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart in Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton, or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. Our time's gone for today, but we've got another great message from the pastor tomorrow, continuing this concept of the journey to the cross. Between now and then, let's stay connected online at theencouragingword.org or our phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org.